Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Heart of the Matter. I want to begin by just briefly commenting on a political move by the government of Scotland. Now, I've mentioned this situation before. The Scottish government is proposing that every last child in that country, at the time of his or her birth, be assigned an employee of the state to watch over his or her well-being. And of course, well-being as a godless statist defines well-being. Now, this government, this state caretaker of the child, would be assigned without any consent of the parents and in spite of any protest by them. This government person would have full legal, and we'll put that in quotes, but legal authority and power to speak with, advise, inform, and control the child independently of the parents' beliefs or desires. Obviously, this state agent would then make decisions concerning the education, the discipline, and the spiritual religious upbringing of the child, and the parents would, of course, docilely obey the dictates of the state by its agent concerning the nurture and admonition of their child, or simply lose their child entirely and find themselves perhaps behind bars. Yes, all of this in the land of John Knox and the Covenanters. But I only want to make one comment, just one application of this situation. Just make one comment and application to Christian parents in America and elsewhere who have the same freedom to homeschool, home educate, that is, or to put their children into a good Christian school. And yes, I know that good Christian schools, that is, scripturally sound, are becoming rarer by the day. Now, specifically, I want to address this comment to those Christian parents who have their children in the state school system. Can you not understand that you have publicly declared that you believe the state should have control over your child's mind and morals, and even see to their nutrition and physical well-being at least 8 hours a day, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year? You have, therefore, already ceded a large measure of parental authority and responsibility to the state. So why are you so surprised and outraged when the state makes moves to usurp even more of that authority and responsibility which you have by putting your children into the government school system, made clear that you're not able, apparently, to properly exercise? Now, over the past couple of decades, I've preached many messages from the pulpit on the education of the children of Christian parents, and I broadcast many programs on the same subject, first on television and radio, and then on the internet. I've made no secret of the fact that I strongly believe the Word of God forbids us to have our children in the government school system. Bluntly put, it's sinful to have them there, sinful for a number of reasons. Now, these are not days when many Christians are uninformed on the situation in the government school system or of their freedom to home educate their children or put them in a government school system. The past several decades has seen so much discussion of this, and of course the materials and curriculum that's available for home educators has just improved by leaps and bounds, and the various options are amazing and wonderful. So ignorance really cannot be claimed here any longer. And I'd like to challenge those of you with your children in the government school system to listen to a scripture-filled and scripture-applied Heart of the Matter message I recently posted, which is titled An Education Acceptable to God. Please listen to that program. And then I'd be interested in hearing from any of you who believe you can refute the teaching and the conclusions contained in it. And if you cannot, then why would you keep your children in the government school system? I would like to also once again challenge ministers to give this issue of the education of children the attention it should have. And finally, I'd like to challenge those churches who have families in their midst who genuinely, and let me stress, genuinely need some sort of help to obey the Lord and remove their children from the state school system. I would like to challenge churches to find ways to render needed assistance in those hardship cases. And parents, you need to be willing to sacrifice much to obey the Lord and rightly care for your child or your children, as the case may be, in this vitally important matter. Now, 2 weeks ago, I commented somewhat, and not favorably, on the movie titled Son of God. All the usual suspects are dizzy with excitement about this latest so-called evangelizing tool, which is simply another blasphemous, idolatrous, and therefore worse than futile attempt to win souls for Christ, although no doubt there will be, from this movie being broadcast and shown in theaters across the country, there will be a harvest of false converts for new evangelical churches, and no doubt popery will gain more ground again as well, and more converts. Now, I know there will be a great deal of money made on this project as well. 2 weeks ago, I told you about a special event that apostate and Southern Baptist Rick Warren staged for ministers, during which the Son of God movie was played and promotional packets were given out. Well, now we hear that Warren has bought up all of the seats in 8 different theaters in Orange County, California. And the Christian Post quotes him, Warren, as saying, "I've seen most of the films about Jesus produced in the past 50 years, and Son of God is the best. We're excited." This is just, I don't even like to read this quote, but "we're excited. Jesus is back on the big screen, and we're going to fill the theaters. I want every other faith leader in America to do the same. Whether you can buy out a whole theater or just one theater, now is the time to show up." Yes, Warren has seen all the other films, or most of them, about Jesus produced in the past 50 years. Well, none of them were any good. None of them were scriptural. None of them were anything but idolatrous to one extent or the other, and blasphemous. We ought not to be making movies showing people playing the Son of God. This is rank idolatry at best. But let's go on. The Christian Post also tells us, quote, "Warren, with the go-ahead from producers Mark Burnett and Roma Downey, created a curriculum for a 6-week study for small groups called Son of God, The Life of Jesus in You. Saddleback Church will be hosting a sermon series to go along with the study that will begin with the movie's release and end on Easter." Now, let me just read you some more from the Christian Post article with the caution that I'm certainly not endorsing the Christian Post other than to say this article is accurate. So here we go. Bear with me. "Pastors, Christian leaders, and Roman Catholics throughout the U.S. are jumping on board a campaign to spread the gospel message via the upcoming film Son of God by buying out multiplex cinema screens for the day before its public release on February 28th. And I'm sure you caught that, Roman Catholics. In other words, the gospel message shown is certainly not true. It's not accurate. It's not true to the scriptures, obviously. Otherwise, Roman Catholics would not be pushing this film, including, as you'll see, a cardinal. Let's go on. "Few movies have been able to take over an entire multiplex, every screen, every seat. Only blockbusters like Hunger Games," whatever that movie was. I don't go to the movies. Going on. "But now the religious epic Son of God is taking over several multiplex nationwide on Thursday, February 27th, the day before it debuts on 3,000 screens, say the film's promoters. As of Monday, multiplexes in at least 10 cities nationwide are playing Son of God on all their screens on the evening of February 27th. It's very interesting to see this level of excitement around the movie," stated James Meredith, VP, head of marketing and communications for Cinemark. We've already scheduled a few large-scale theater buyouts for The Son of God in theaters across the country. The interest level for meetings, events, screenings, and buyouts seems to be on par with that of major blockbuster, tentpole, whatever that is, or franchise movies. Going on with the article, Crossroads Church in Cincinnati is bringing thousands of people to their local Cinemark, I think it's pronounced, and that's with a C. You might think it would be an S, but it's a C. On February 27th, where Son of God will be showing on 13 screens at the same time, we're inviting everyone to experience this historic film about the life of Jesus, said Brian Wells from Crossroads. Our church bought out every screen in the theater. If anyone comes to the theater to see another movie that night, they'll be out of luck unless we have a few extra tickets to give them. In addition to pastors doing theater takeovers, many others are buying out single screens at their local movie theaters, promoters said. This is a rare opportunity to bring the story of Christ into our mainstream culture, said Pastor Warren. We want to see Jesus in movie theaters where sight and sound can open up our senses and let grace come in. Is that how a work of grace is done in the heart of fallen men and women? Let me go on. And first just say this, though. Why don't these ministers get some gospel tracts, get some scripture signs, and go out into the world and share the gospel and share Christ that way? Perhaps preach, but certainly hand out tracts. Talk to people that way, that'll come up. Hold scripture signs. Why don't they do what the Bible tells us to do when it comes to sharing the gospel? Go out. Go out with the gospel. Go out to a fallen and dark world with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, they're going to use movies. They're going to use this blasphemous film, this idolatrous film, and appeal to the senses. Now, I saw a trailer of this thing. It's called a trailer, a little, you can see on the internet, a little sneak preview. And even the little bit I saw was repulsive. It was unscriptural. It was repulsive. I'll just sum it up that way. But let me go on with this article. Who's talking here? Brian Wells from Crossroads Church, apparently the minister. The message of the gospel deserves to be on the big screen. And this is our chance to see it there. I see. Deserves to be on the big screen. Relief organization Compassion International has also joined in the buyout campaign by distributing tickets to churches in more than 40 markets. Jesus has always been at the center of our ministry, says Mark Hanlon, Compassion International's Senior Vice President of Global Marketing and Engagement. So this ministry has a global marketing arm. His life story is the greatest story ever told, and this film tells it in a beautiful, captivating way. The gospel account of Jesus' life is a central part of our program's curriculum. That's why we're working with churches throughout the country to make this film an opportunity for outreach. While evangelical Christians, I'm still reading from this Christian Post article now, lead the charge in supporting faith-based movies, Son of God is a rare movie that has garnered the support of the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, just like the Passion of the Christ. The film's promoters said, Cardinal Donald Wuerl commissioned discussion guides and videos to be made for Roman Catholic churches and schools, and Archbishop Thomas Wensky of Miami is doing a theater takeover for thousands of Roman Catholics in Miami. Again, now, what does that tell you about this film? Let me go on with the article. Additionally, other churches and organizations distributing tickets for a theater takeover are, and they list a number of them. I will tell you that we have here Joel Osteen. You've heard of this man, this apostate, this megachurch minister. Is he the minister of the largest church in America? I believe he is. Anyway, he is distributing 8,000 tickets from an anonymous donor. And then there's here's Archbishop Jose Gomez, Archdiocese of Los Angeles. They're pushing it hard. Oh, it just goes on and on with new evangelical churches and, of course, Roman Catholics as well. So, as I said 2 weeks ago, here we go again. Here we go again. Another blasphemous, idolatrous, scripture-resting film attempting to win converts to Christ by appealing to the sensual and through entertainment. Now, nothing can come of this but more damage, more false converts, more hard hearts, more confusion, and more offense to the Lord, and more benefit to the devil. And so it goes in America today. Now, this past week, a Christian brother from Michigan sent me some information I thought would be worthwhile to pass on to all of you. Of course, you must know that Rome has long embraced the charismatic movement, since at the heart of the charismatic movement is a low view of the Word of God and a embracing, a reliance, even a reveling in extra-biblical revelation. And, of course, it's a very emotion and sensual-driven movement. Now, anything that's of this nature, and certainly anything that erodes the authority of the Word of God in the minds of professing Christians, can be very useful to popery. Decades ago, there also began a so-called charismatic renewal among Roman Catholic priests and people, a good number of the people. Well, it seems that recently the Jesuit Pope Francis recorded a video message which was subsequently played at a gathering put on by the Kenneth Copeland Ministries. In the video, Pope Francis declared that he spoke as a brother and spoke of his joy that the audience had, quote, come together to worship Jesus Christ, the only Lord. And Francis spoke of his yearning that, quote, this separation comes to an end and gives us communion. Going on here, Francis declares, I am nostalgic of that embrace that the Holy Scripture speaks of. When Joseph's brothers began to starve from hunger, they went to Egypt to buy so that they could eat. We have, and I'm reading excerpts from a written transcript, we have, the Pope says, a lot of cultural riches and religious riches, and we have diverse traditions, but we have to encounter one another as brothers. We must cry together like Joseph did. These tears will unite us, the tears of love. Let us allow our nostalgia, and in this sense he means yearning, to grow, because this will propel us to find each other, to embrace one another, and together to worship Jesus Christ as the only Lord of history. Now, this is, again, Pope Francis speaking to a gathering of Kenneth Copeland people, a gathering put on by Kenneth Copeland Ministries, of course, a bunch of wildly charismatic people. Let me pick up here with the Pope's address to these people. I thank you profoundly for listening to me. I thank you profoundly for allowing me to speak the language of the heart. A famous Italian author named Manzoni once wrote in his novel of a simple man amongst the people who once said this, I've never seen God begin a miracle without him finishing it well. He will complete this miracle of unity. I ask you to bless me, and I bless you. From brother to brother, I embrace you. Thank you. So that was excerpted from Pope Francis's video remarks, and it was played at the gathering of the Kenneth Copeland Ministries just recently. Now, the Pope also asked in that video, he asked the Copeland crowd for prayer. He said this, and let us pray to the Lord that he unites us all. Come on, we are brothers. Let's give each other a spiritual hug and let God complete the work that he has begun. And this is a miracle. The miracle of unity has begun. Of course, Francis trying to come across as the everyday man. Come on, let's give each other a spiritual hug. Well, as soon as the video message from the Pope ended, Kenneth Copeland, and he was visibly moved, led the congregation in prayer. And, of course, this time of prayer included a good deal of so-called tongue speaking. And according to Copeland, quote, a miracle of unity has begun. Now, on that note, as we think of this Jesuit Pope, we turn to an interesting article titled, We Are All Jesuits. And in some sense, we could say that about all the popes. They, in some sense, are all Jesuits. But this article was written by Dirk And I hope I pronounced the man's name right. He deserves to have his name pronounced right in this case. Dirk Jan Epinink. E-P-P-I-N-K. And I'm sure I didn't pronounce that right, so my apologies. But this man, Epinink, is a member of the European Parliament. That is, of the currently quite shaken, and for good reason, increasingly unpopular, European Union. And he posted this article on his website. Now, I'll tell you up front that I know nothing of this man's spiritual state or religious affiliation, other than he is plainly not, all capital letters, not a Roman Catholic. Politically, he would appear to be conservative and very plain spoken. He is apparently quite an accomplished man. I'll not go through his bio, but only mention that in 2010 he published the book The Tower of Babel is in Brussels. So that gives you some sense of where this MP of the European Parliament, Dirk Jan Epinink, is coming from. It'll give you a sense of where he's coming from. Now, I think it'd be worthwhile for me to just read some of this article titled We Are All Jesuits. Please bear with me as I mangle some of the names in it. I'm sure I probably will. I do believe that what Mr. Dirk Jan Epinink says is factually accurate. The truth is, the founding fathers of the European Union movement were Romanists, and to this day, the Roman Catholics, including a good many Jesuits, are deeply embedded in the European Union power structure. Here's the article, and I'm not going to read all of it. I'll read parts of it. We are all Jesuits, and it's not a new article, but I just came across it, or it was sent to me just recently. There are plenty of reasons to keep a close eye on Herman von Rompuy, the president of the European Council. In early September, von Rompuy spoke to the interreligious dialogue in Florence, and I'll just note that was in 2012, that particular meeting he's talking about there. The world press did not notice, but fortunately there was still the, and he gives the name of a Roman Catholic publication. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce it. It's not in English. And it apparently is a publication coming out of the Netherlands. The newspaper proudly quoted von Rompuy as announcing, "We are all Jesuits." He is referring to those prominent European leaders with whom he is developing the architecture for the future Europe. It creates, this is a quote, "it creates unbreakable ties, so there is a Jesuits International," and unquote. Now, going on with Mr. Epinick's article, who are these people that von Rompuy, himself schooled by the Jesuits, and it gives the name of a college in Brussels, was talking about? First of all, there is José Manuel Barroso, president of the European Commission. Secondly, there is Jean-Claude Juncker, Prime Minister of Luxembourg and Chairman of the Eurogroup. Von Rompuy also mentions the President of the European Central Bank, Mario Draghi, who was schooled in the Roman Jesuit College. Again, he gives the name of the college, and it's not in English, so I won't attempt it. The Italian Prime Minister, Mario Monti, and his Spanish colleague, Mariano Rajoy, have also been shaped by Jesuit College, von Rompuy cheerfully added. Listening to von Rompuy, you will instantly notice the similarities of the Jesuits with Europe. Jesuits form the vanguard of the Catholic Church, like the European elite is the vanguard of the European integration. Both portray themselves as the elite, elevated above the ordinary people. Their methods are very similar. A sophisticated lie or purposeful deception is allowed when framed in the interest of the greater goal. A barely contained cynicism typifies the attitude toward the normal citizen, the ignorant fool, who within a democracy needs to be protected from himself. The Catholic and European elites work through inner circles. The rest is prose. Von Rompuy, many names the other people I just named who are officials in the European Union, are frequent visitors at papal audiences. And jumping down, European Member of Parliament Epping goes on to speak of a book written by those he calls the Euro-Jesuits. In their book, For Europe, they scream their goals at the top of their lungs, a federal Europe with one government, one European tax, and one army. The only thing that is missing is one secret service and one leader, so Europe is back where it started. Put this to a referendum, and the United States of Europe is limited to Italy and Belgium. And then speaking of the Euro-Jesuits, Epping says, in a painless exercise of words, citizens are molded into a thinking process that goes beyond them. As soon as they realize what building those building blocks are meant to create, they're already trapped in it. What used to be suggestions will be fait accomplished, and those who object are labeled as unreasonable and fractious as populists. Meanwhile, the never-elected Prime Minister Monti has announced that he will start a European campaign against populism. Van Rompuy, also never elected, immediately gave him his support. Monti had earlier stated that the national parliaments should not get in the way of European leaders. They have to be educated, Jesuits leading the people, who are in turn supposed to follow. What is populism to them? It is the ignorant who refuse to follow the angry Greeks, the protesting Spaniards, the concerned Germans, and the Euro-critical Dutch. A Europe with such an elitist mentality needs a reformation, but that is something Jesuits International detests. What an annoying populist he was, that Martin Luther. I told you it'd be interesting. The article is titled We Are All Jesuits, and it was written by Minister of the European Parliament, Dirk Jan Epping, and that's all I've got for you today on The Heart of the Matter.